Would you please join me in a spirit of prayer? Dear God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable unto you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Today's lessons from Exodus and Matthew can be hard. Who here wants to be told what they should do and not do? Martin Percy, an English clergyman, wrote about another comic who had told a joke about the Ten Commandments. And he said, it was Dave Allen, was the comedian, and he said that the good news is I bargained him down to 10. The bad news is he left adultery in. Now, there's a lot that's wrong with this joke. I don't think there's a problem that God said we shouldn't be adulterers. And the fact is, nobody was bargaining about how many commandments would be given to the Israelites. And they weren't given 10. The 10 commandments that we just read are part of 613 statutes that were given to the people. And in fact, they were not called commandments. This is the Hebrew. V'yidbar Elohim et kol ha-divarim ha'ela lemor. Divarim means words. These were 10 words. And the religious communities that followed somehow decided that commandments would be a better way to describe them. Now, I'm not saying that these aren't rules. That list of 613 rules follows in chapter 21 of Exodus, and those are called Mishpatim. But why would God give us rules? Why does God give us these laws or commandments? Why can't we just do what we want to do? Think about that. If you're a teenager, do you really want rules? I think God recognized that we needed some rules, that we needed some guardrails. And these weren't just some rules that were concocted by a bunch of guys sitting around a fire one night. And they figured out that these rules would help the tribe live better. These rules are fundamental to human society. And they value life. And God wants us to live full lives with purpose and meaning. Now, I could talk a lot about the Ten Commandments, and I can talk to you about the historical antecedents for them, but that's not what I'm going to do today. Instead, I'm going to ask you to just keep these 10 words in your mind as we fast forward to Matthew's Gospel. And there Matthew refers to Jesus telling the parable, which has the punchline of the stones that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. This was the Lord's doing and is amazing in our eyes. Jesus was quoting the Psalms, Psalm 118 to be specific. And Jesus knew that the people who were rejecting the cornerstone were the religious authorities. So frankly, it's the folks like me. The people who thought they knew better, that they could interpret scripture for everyone else. But what is this idea about rejecting a cornerstone? What do we reject? What are the things that we've decided that we can do without? So Rachel asked me what I was going to be preaching on today, and I told her. And she said, oh, you're going to be giving your anti-Semitism as bad speech today. And that's part of it. Because this passage has been cited by the supersessionists, the people who have argued that God is done with the Jews, God has thrown them away and replaced them with the Gentiles. Really? Is that the kind of God that you want to worship? A God that fickle? A God whose promises that were made to the Hebrews were just set aside? That's not the kind of God that we read about in Scripture. Now, that's not to say that God does not get ticked off with the Israelites. That does not mean that God has said there will be no consequences to your bad behavior. We see that there are consequences throughout Scripture, and they can be awful, and they do not require God's intervention. We can make a mess of things all by ourselves. So we can think about the cornerstone that we've rejected. Who would it be? What would it be? And we can think about the cornerstones we've rejected as a society. We can think about the people who've been told, we don't want to hear from you. You don't need to participate. And who loses when we do that? It's not just the people who are set aside. We as a community suffer for that. I have not seen this movie, but Rachel and Chip saw it, and they were very positive about it. It was called Hidden Numbers, and it was about a bunch of black women who made some really significant contributions to our space program. And these women were walking computers. They were able to do math and calculations like a computer. And they were black women. So no one wanted to hear from them until their contributions became so obvious, their talents so prodigious that they could not be ignored. Why were they ignored? Because of our own stupidity. Prejudice is bad. Prejudice is not what God wants of us. There may be people we don't like, and that's okay. We were called to love one another, not to like one another. If we're going to be in a community, we need to work together. And maybe you wonder about that, want to think about it, but think about your place of employment. Think about your school. You've got no choice but to work with your colleagues. You've got no choice but to work with your fellow students. That's the way it is. Now, we may say that's not fair, to which my history teacher back in high school would respond, tough darts. But he was right. We need to work together. And rejecting a cornerstone because we don't like the way it looks does not really make sense. So I'm not a builder. If you ever need an arch built in your home, I wish you well. But I do know that if you're building an arch, you need to put the cornerstone in. It's not optional. And it needs to be a certain shape and a certain size to work in that arch. And yes, you could think, maybe I'll find a better cornerstone. But really? Why do we reject things? Now, sometimes the things we reject have outlasted their usefulness. Sometimes our beliefs do need to be updated or retired. But basic things about being kind to one another, about respecting one another, about not killing one another, those don't need to be set aside. What is wrong with the Ten Commandments? Now, I'm not calling on you to fetishize them. And I don't believe that just setting up a slab with 10 commandments or 10 numbers on them is somehow an act of faith or will educate our young. But could you do better? Could we do better? Really, I don't think we could. Yes, we might treat them a little bit. We have no use for slavery. We could take that part out. But coveting our neighbor's stuff, Where is the value in that? Really? Because coveting leads to actions where people take and steal. And you can do it as a thief breaking in the house at night, or you can do it when you're in power. And you can take stuff from disapproved people. That is not a way for us to live together healthily. So I'm not going to wag my finger at you and give you a whole bunch of thou shalt nots. Instead, I'm going to ask you to think about the God who gave us these words, this God who loves us. Think about that. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. God so loved the world that he paid attention to us. If God is indeed as powerful and awesome as we claim he is, why would God need to pay attention to any of us? We don't matter. Except we do to God. So look around the sanctuary, and each person you see here was made in the image of God. How could you strike out at that person? Every person here is a gift and a blessing. And I know this can sound a little bit kumbaya-ish, but kumbaya is not bad sometimes. Our God wants us to enjoy life. Within reason. So I remember a story I heard long, long ago about a bunch of children being put on a mountaintop. And that was it. No guardrails, no fences. And the kids started playing. And one of them fell off the top. Oops. Another one got ticked off with a friend, pushed him off. Oops. There was nothing to keep them safe. These rules matter. We need rules. We need guardrails. There's a reason that faithful are referred to as sheep by Jesus. And I've been a young person, I've been an adult. Frankly, I think sometimes we could refer to as hyenas. But we need a little bit of guidance. And I don't think we're going to find it on the internet. I don't think your favorite celebrity is going to offer the answers to all of your problems. I don't think there's a self-help book out there which will give you just what you need to live a full and rewarding life. It's not out there. It is here in Scripture. And yes, some of Scripture is absolutely baffling. I cannot tell you why there is a rule that says that the Israelites were not supposed to wear clothes in which linen and cotton were mixed together. Have no idea. Did God put it in Scripture to test us? Did somebody back then have some weird ideas that they thought would be good for all of us to follow? I don't know. But remember, Jesus had one Bible. There was no Old Testament in Jesus' day. There was the Bible, the Tanakh, the Torah, Nevi'im, and Ketuvim. That was it. The letters of Paul did not exist when Jesus walked the earth. The Gospels did not exist when Jesus walked the earth. Jesus had Scripture. And Jesus quoted those Scriptures a lot. Just as he did today. Just as he did on Good Friday. You remember when he's on the cross and he cries out, "My God, why have you forsaken me?" That is a direct quote from the 22nd Psalm. Jesus wasn't trying to show us that he was some scripture geek, that he had all of this stuff at his fingertips. It was like a fish in water. And Jesus could not help but cite scripture, because it was what gave him strength. So yes, religious authorities and teachers have responsibilities. I'm not letting you off the hook and telling you to just go figure it out for yourself. But we have responsibilities. Just as the religious authorities of Jesus' day did. And you remember, they wanted to arrest him. But they didn't, because they feared the crowds. Well, there's a profile in courage. Why didn't they talk to him? Why don't we talk to one another about big issues? Are we worried about offending one another? Or are we worried we might realize or learn we're wrong? If we believe things, we should be willing to test them. And I believe wholeheartedly that God wants us to ask questions. God gave each of us a brain. And there is nothing in Scripture that says you should turn it off when it comes to matters of faith. So ask questions. Explore them. Read books. Read scripture. Ask me a question. I might have an answer. I might say I've got to look it up. But the cornerstone in our faith is Jesus. We're not going to do better than Jesus. Really. We're not. And I give thanks for Jesus. And I give thanks to God for Scripture. Would you please join me in a spirit of prayer? Holy and gracious God, we thank you for your Scripture. We thank you for the gift of Jesus and for all the faithful throughout the ages who have tried to follow your way. In his name we pray, amen.